But let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word, Lord, reveals Jesus Christ to us. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, the entrance of your word brings light to our heart. And we love your word, Lord. Father, we pray now that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. I pray you would anoint this time of teaching by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, and breathe life into your word for us, that we would understand it and that we would follow it and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, this is part four. Good morning again. Part four of the Sermon on the Mount. You remember it starts off part one. I have to review, of course. It starts off with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's an important verse because it's the foundation of everything else. The word poor, as I've said to you before, means bankrupt. A person who realizes that they're a sinner and that there's nothing righteous in them. Because you and I came from Adam and Eve, we inherited a sinful nature. And that's why we must be born again. We need the Spirit to come back and live inside of us, because before we came to Christ, we were spiritually dead. So blessed are the poor in spirit, because they realize they're poor in spirit. God has opened their eyes to see their poverty. And again, it's really interesting, the Greek word here for poor, there are two Greek words. One of them is poor, but you might make some money. You could maybe do okay. There's another Greek word, and it's the Greek word poor with no hope of getting better. That's what we, without Jesus, we have no hope. We are poor in spirit. And because of that, we mourn. I'm sure you have times we go, I don't like my sinful nature. We mourn. And then we are meek. That means we treat others with humility, because we realize we're nothing. And then we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, God, I hunger for you, you see. And he fills us with his righteousness. And so the beautiful Beatitudes, of Matthew 5. And then, of course, I'm just reminding you of what we've studied. We are the salt of the earth. We are the flavoring, the seasoning. We are the salt of this earth. And we are the light of the world, bringing light to a dark world. You know, guys, when the church is taken out of the way, when the rapture occurs, that's when the Antichrist will come on the scene, because the light will be taken away. And God will still be at work. People will get saved. But right now, the church is the salt and the light that is in this world. And so you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And then Jesus telling us that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. The law is good. The Ten Commandments, they didn't go anywhere. They're still there. But every one of them that you and I broke, we broke these commandments. Jesus shed his blood on the cross so that the law is fulfilled. The law demanded our death. Christ died for us. The law is satisfied in our life, because we now have that righteousness that is greater than the Pharisees. We have a righteousness that is by faith. God credits us with the perfection of his Son. He looks on us. And he looks on us and he sees Jesus. Remember in John 17, Jesus said, "Father, I pray that the love you have for me would be in them, and that I myself would be in them." And so Jesus takes up residence, and God looks on us and he says, "I see my Son living in that person. And I love that person as I love my Son." Jesus loves you today. The love he has for Jesus, the Father has for Jesus, he has for you. Because Christ has taken residence in your heart. And Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Our holiness is Christ in us. And so the law is satisfied. And so it says this. Then he says, this is how you live in the kingdom. And then the Sermon on the Mount is what it's like to be in the kingdom of God. And he says, it's not only that you don't murder somebody, but in your heart, I don't want you hating them. I don't want you calling them an idiot and things like that, which I still could do in traffic, you know, sometimes. I was with Anton, had a truck just right in front of me. I mean, right in front of me. We were almost hit. And first word out of my mouth was idiot, but sorry. Confession. You know, then we're also told don't go to court. We studied all, adultery is here, and we talked about how, you know, if you actually would want to take that woman if you had opportunity to do it, or that guy, that's lusting. It's not just whether you do it physically. So don't murder, don't commit adultery in your heart. Don't divorce. It, you know, now if you've already been divorced, we covered that. You're forgiven, but you're not to divorce lightly, and we covered all that. And we were even to love our enemies. Remember that? We're to turn our cheek, and when someone treats us wrong, we're to love our enemies and pray for our enemies. And then we talked last week about giving, and not giving so that everybody can see you, but just giving in secret. And your Father who is in heaven sees your giving, and he will reward you. And prayer, we talked about prayer. Now, the same thing. Don't just pray on the street corner so everybody can see you, but even in your prayer closet when you're alone, it's just you and God. And only God sees it. Not even your spouse just sees that you're with God. Maybe you're on your knees, you're talking to God. God will reward that as we pray and as we seek him. And we talked about our Father which art in heaven. We studied that prayer, beautiful prayer of how we are to approach the Father. So simple. It's good sometimes just to pray that very, very prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then the rest of it, beautiful prayer. And how we must forgive others or we will not be forgiven. And same thing about fasting, that it be in secret. If we do it, God sees it. And then we talked about money, that you can't serve God and money. You got to make up your mind. Who is your God? Is it your money or is it God? And Jesus said, if you put God first, he will take care of your money for you. All these things will be given to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. And not worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble. I can't deal with Monday. I'm still in Sunday today. So let's have a good Sunday today. Amen. Okay? Chapter 7. This is our final teaching on this. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. So, if I am critical in my judgment of you, then I am setting myself up for God to be critical of me. Not, first of all, none of us are to be judged. James says there's only one lawgiver and judge. And who are we to slander our brother? Judge not, that you may not be judged. And it says in the way that you judge others, you'll be judged. So it makes me want to be merciful to you. It makes me want to forgive you. You know, like, yeah, he's kind of a weird brother. He's done some weird, but you know what? I love you, brother. Because I don't want to set myself up by using a critical, harsh kind of a standard. And then it comes back on me. The measure you use will be measured to you. Boy, I want mercy, don't you? Then I better give mercy to you. I want to be loved. Don't you want to be loved? So I better love you. I'm going to use a generous measure with you. I want to share generously the love of God, the mercy of God. I want to be kind to you. And then you know what? According to Jesus, the measure will come back to me. Maybe not from you, I don't know, but it'll come from God. God will make sure that I receive mercy, that I receive love, that I receive kindness. So the measure we use is a determinant of how we will be treated. And then it says, verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Have any of you guys ever seen something called the Amplified Bible? Anybody have one of these? Amplified Bible? I'm surprised nobody has these anymore. Amplified. What it does is it takes the original and it just expands all the Greek words. And it's pretty good. And it's very wordy. Very, very wordy. It takes a long time to read. But let me read from the King. I'm going to read a couple things from this today. This will be hard for you to translate, Joe, so sorry. This is what it says in the Amplified. It says, why do you stare from without at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye, but do not become aware of and consider the beam of timber that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First get the beam of tinder out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye. I like that translation. Yeah, it's just a good translation. So if I, instead of being critical of you, going, oh, you know, let me help you, brother. I noticed you got a little problem here. And meanwhile, I've got this big thing in my own life. And here I am. You've got this little teeny thing that, you know, oh, let me help you. And God's saying, wait a minute. If I'm going to help you, I better first get this wood out of my own eye. And again, it's just talking about not judging harshly, using a kind measure one to another. We are not to judge. Judge not, that you may not be judged. I cannot see your heart. Only God sees your heart. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he said, you alone, God, know the hearts of men. Now, I can observe your behavior, and it does often reflect, but only God sees your heart. And so I am to not be critical of you. I am judgmental of you. I am to use a loving, merciful measure to you. And I am to be more concerned about the plank in my own eye, the big board, than in the speck of sawdust that might be in your eye. And then, I got to remember which Bible I'm reading from here. Okay, it's over here. Then it says, verse 6, do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces. It seems that when we share our faith with other people, we need to have discernment. We need to judge whether it is wise. Because sometimes it is unwise. Janet and I go downtown to Starbucks. I've told you that before. We love to go down there and do crossword puzzles and drink Starbucks coffee. That's my idea of a hot date. Okay. When we go down there, the last 3 months, the Jehovah's Witnesses have been there every single time. They are coming back in our community. Jehovah's Witnesses have been around for a long time, since the early 1900s. And I remember when I was a new Christian back in the 70s, we would, you know, try and reach the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. They are a cult. They do not believe in the same Jesus that you believe in. Jesus is only a God to them. And they have it's a bad organization, what they bring to you. But they wear these, you know, nice suits. They're two of the finest looking people you want to meet on the, but yet they are, if you go to share your faith with them, they will argue with you. And pretty soon you're in an argument, and it's not profitable. It is not profitable. So in sharing with anyone, I have to ask myself, is this person ready for it? Is this the time to share Jesus? Because if you give what is sacred to the dogs or your pearls to pigs, they may turn and crush the pearls and then turn on you. So I love to share my faith. I love to evangelize. I'm very bold. I'm not afraid to share with somebody. But there's times a person is really drunk, for example. It's probably not likely to receive the gospel very clearly. Maybe not a good time. There's just times when it's not the moment to throw that pearl out there. And so I would just say we need to have discernment on when we share. Now we come to the best part for me. Verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more Will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is in the Greek continual. It's ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. And so we are to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It is in a continual tense. Again, let me read it to you in the Amplified Bible, and then we'll talk about it. Verse 7. Keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened. What man of you is there whose son asks for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone, or a fish, a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on seeking and asking? Wow. So the question then becomes, what should I ask for? Wow, God gives good gifts. What should I ask for? Okay. And I think we can ask really for anything if our motive is right. Jesus said, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be full. And in John, it's ask. In the Greek, it's like, please ask anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive. Now, in 1 John, it says, if we ask anything according to his will. So the question is it his will for me? Asking according to his will. James says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? You want something, you have not because you ask not. Or when you ask amiss, that you might consume it on your own pleasure. You worldly people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? So if I'm only asking to consume it on my own pleasure, I'm in love with the world. When I pastored in Monterey, California, I don't even like cars that much, but I fell in love with Jaguars. Boy, are those things good looking. And I was borderline going, Lord, what about, and I didn't get a Jaguar. But, you know, the primary things that Jesus, I think, is talking about asking for are the needful things. Of course, we can ask for healing if we're sick. We can ask for someone who is unsaved to get saved. We can ask for wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously. We can ask God to send out more workers into the harvest field. He asks us to pray that. We can ask God for an open door for the gospel. There are so many things to talk to God about in prayer. We can ask God for more of Jesus. Lord, I ask you for more of Jesus. So if you walk with the Lord and you stay in his word, you will kind of know what to ask for. And I really think the Lord wants us all to grow in prayer. I just think prayer is such a joy. Did you know that prayer is a great joy? Great joy. Would you turn to Isaiah chapter 55? Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. If you can't get there, you can just listen to me. Isaiah 55, verse 7. He's referring to the foreigners who will get saved. And he says in verse 7, Isaiah 55, 7, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. A house of prayer for all nations. I used to do street witnessing out in the plaza. You remember that? I told you that. To the homeless people? I don't do that anymore, but I still preach at the Jesus Center. But for a while, we were actually in the plaza downtown. And there was a girl, who I'm sure some of you remember who she is, I don't know, named Beverly Mancinelli. Does anybody remember her? Beverly? We did his memorial for her. Beverly had, she was killed in paradise. She was hit by a car. She had a trailer that she stayed in. And she, from the Jesus Center, she said, I want to go with you downtown. She had an affected speech. It was kind of cute because she'd lost all of her teeth because of methamphetamines. But she was intelligent. She had a master's degree and in psychology. And we came downtown. She would bring a Coke or something for me to sit on, and we would preach to the various people. And Anton was among those. And Beverly would always just on fire for the Lord. And she said, well, where's the prayer meeting? Why isn't there a prayer meeting? Where do they pray? So there is a Tuesday prayer meeting in town. It used to be at Pastor Ed's church on the Esplanade. And we would meet with a group there on Tuesday. And she was on fire to pray. I will give them joy in the house of prayer. And guys, God wants to give you joy and me joy. You can go back to Matthew. He wants us to have joy in the house of prayer. And that can be your private time, just you. It can also be you and your spouse, marriage. It can also be going to an official prayer meeting. And all of it's good. It's all good. And we are to ask and seek and knock. Oh, Lord, I am. God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6 says, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What a good thing to seek the Lord. I want more of Jesus in my life. I need it. I need more of Him. So, to me, this is the heart of the thing. Ask and seek and knock and get good gifts. All right. I like good gifts. In Luke's gospel, it says, ask, seek, and knock. How much more will He give? The Holy Spirit. That's what it says in Luke. But here's Matthew's good gifts. So the idea is probably He's going to give you the fullness of the Spirit. He's going to give you spiritual gifts. He's going to enlarge you as a believer. More joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more love, more self-control. And instead of running away from God, we run toward Him. Oh, Lord, I want You. And we can begin the day in prayer. Coffee or tea and the Bible. You all know, you heard it 1,000 times, a little sign in my kitchen. You can come to the party Thursday night, I'll show it to you. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus and coffee. That's what it says. It's a little plaque. My daughter gave it to me. So there's a cup of coffee. The Bible's open. What time is it? You know, it's 4 a.m. or whatever crazy time. I'm a morning person. Just good morning, Lord. And as you begin to wake up, you copy that first Bible verse. Where's my bookmark? You know. And then pretty soon, without saying a word, my spirit and God's spirit are communicating with each other. It's so beautiful. And He knows what I need before I speak. He knows. And without saying a single word. Did you know that in Psalm 5, it says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. That's in the King James. You know what the word for meditation is? It's to sigh. Consider my sigh. God goes, I heard that. I heard that. I was up yesterday morning and I had all this, just I hadn't said a word. I was went, Janet's not feeling well. And a big sigh came out, you know. And I went, Lord, please hear that sigh. It says in Romans 8, the Spirit intercedes with groans that words cannot express. Sometimes how God, the Spirit will intercede, it's deeper than anything I could put into words. God sees your heart. He hears your heart. He loves you. And He wants to be intimate with you. It's a personal relationship. Hallelujah. And so wherever you want to start, it's okay. Lord, I start by praying. It says in 1 Timothy 2, I urge, first of all, that prayers be made for rulers and kings and those in authority. So I pray for that. In Ephesians, it says, pray for all the saints on all occasions. So, Father, we begin by praying for President Trump in Jesus' name. If it is Your will, protect him. Rebuke this evil thing that's come against him. And Father, we pray for Vice President Pence, and we pray for Secretary of State Pompeo, and we pray for Attorney General Barr, and we pray for the whole surrounding people, the governors in the White House. Have mercy, Father, on our nation. We pray for the state of California, a governor with whom I do not agree, but I pray for him. I pray for the city of Chico. I pray for our chief of police, Mike O'Brien, Mark Orme, our city manager, Scott Dowell, our finance manager, Laura Kutsina at the Jesus Center, Sean Morgan, our former mayor, Casey Reynolds, others on the city council. Lord, because we pray for our leaders in Jesus' name. We pray for our city. And Father, I pray for my marriage. And Father, I pray for my children and grandchildren to be saved. Protect them, sanctify them, Lord. I pray for them. I pray for my brother and my sisters and their children. Father, I pray for CIF. And who does God bring to your mind? Start praying for each other. Pray for each other. I pray for Young and Esther right there. Bless them, Father. Bless Jacob, their son. I pray for Tony and Annie and Jason, Lord God. And for Anna, who's not here this morning, missing her. Father, we pray for the saints. We pray on all occasions for each other. We bear each other's burdens. Lord, I know this couple's going through something. Please help them. Please help them. This couple has financial need. Please help them. It matters, you guys. Ask and seek and knock. Good gifts. Oh, it's so good to know Jesus. It's so good. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me vision, Lord. What do you want to do with CIF, Lord God? Where are we going? I want to be in step with you and with your spirit. I can stand up here all day and do this. We just turn this into one big prayer meeting. That's maybe what we should do. Because it's just good to have this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to put good gifts in your life. You know, if your child, you know, mom, dad, I'm hungry, you're not going to give them can I have some bread? Here's a rock, son, here. Here's some hot sauce, though. You can put it on there. Okay. No, enjoy this rock. Here's a little ketchup. No, you're not going to do that. He's not going to eat a rock. You're going to give him something good. You're not going to give him a scorpion. I was amazed in Thailand, they actually do eat scorpion. That's considered a delicacy. No, thank you. But God gives good gifts. If you love your son, your daughter, how much does God love us? We're evil. I'm a sinful man, except for Jesus Christ, and yet I love my children. How much more did God give perfect gifts to us? There's a song we used to sing, an old, I don't remember who did it, but it was like Jesus on the Main Line Now. Did you ever hear that song? If you want salvation, tell them what you want. Jesus on the Main Line Now. If you need forgiveness, tell them what you want. Jesus on the Main Line Now. That's back for the regular phones, okay? He's on the Main Line. We got him. We're connected with heaven. Well, tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. He's on the Main Line right now. Okay. He's ready talking. He wants to hear from you. Tell him what you need. He cares for you. He cares for your health. He cares for your finances. He cares for your spiritual growth. He's prepared a city for you, the New Jerusalem. We are passing through. We are only aliens and strangers. Oh, Lord, it says in Luke, pray always that you might be counted worthy to escape the wrath to come and stand before the Son of Man. There's a coming judgment on this planet. And so ask, seek, knock. Knock means sometimes you have to knock on a door, you know? Maybe make a phone call. Maybe, you know, they always was told that if you didn't have a job, your job was to look for a job. You know, part of life involves seeking by us. Asking, seeking, knocking. And God will give you good gifts. He will fill your life with good gifts. So prayer, a joy in the house of prayer, joy in the house of prayer. Pray the spiritual things. Pray for the things of the kingdom of God. That's where the reward is. Pray, and you really want to be effective, by the way, last thing, and then I'll move on. Pray the promises of God. What has God promised in his word? Pray it into your life. Lord, you said that So let it be so for me. Pray the word. So be people of prayer. Joy with the Lord. He wants to meet with you morning by morning. He's the living God. He will speak to you. He will give you good gifts as you ask. Now, verse 12, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Aha! This is called the golden rule. In everything, do for others what you would want them to do for you. Interesting, Buddha, as I understand it, 500 years prior, even to Christ, Buddha said, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Buddha said that, which is good. Buddha's right. But Jesus put it in the affirmative. He said, do to others what you would want them to do for you. That really is a good summation, isn't it, of the law. It sums up the law and the prophets. And to me, it's a perfect definition of love, a very simple definition of love. It's if I do for you what I wish you'd do for me. I wish you'd give me a smile. So I'm going to smile at you. Please give me a smile. Okay. I wish you'd greet me and say good morning. So I'm going to say it to you. Good morning. I wish you'd ask me how I'm doing. So I'm going to say it to you. How you doing? I wish you'd be a good listener when I speak. So I'm going to try and be a good listener when you speak. I wish you'd bring me a cup of coffee and a cookie. No cookie. Okay, so I'll, get you a go. And you get the idea. What would you wish others to do for you? That's love. In all things, do to others what you would have them do for you. Of course, we come short. We don't always do it. But that sums up what the law and the prophets. God is love, the Bible says. And so the definition of love is to do for others what you would have them do for you. The golden rule. Verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Wow. As a Christian, this is just one of the most serious, sobering verses to me. Jesus, our radical Jesus. You guys are so radical to be Christians, you know. Christians, you guys are narrow-minded, right? You are. You know why? Because Jesus was narrow-minded. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. There's no way to the Father but through me. John 14:6. I am the way. I am the truth. There's no other way to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. And here he says, broad is the road to destruction, and many there be. Narrow is the gate to salvation, and few there be that find it to life. And that's a hard thing to swallow, to think that there are more billions of people going to hell than are going to heaven. But that is exactly, in my view, what Jesus is saying. And so who's on the broad road? Oh my goodness, the broad road includes even people that go to church. The broad road is anybody that has not been born again, that has not asked Jesus to come into their heart. The broad road could include Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism, world religions. People, how come there's so many religions? Because Satan is a liar, and Satan has deceived the inhabitants of the world, and he uses false religions to deceive people. And we love the Islamics. We love the Hindus and so forth, the Buddhists, we want them to get saved. But we want them to know that Jesus is Lord. I was in Thailand and I said to the girl, she's a Buddhist. And I said, Buddhist and God? Buddha can't give you life. Only Jesus can give you life. The broad road to destruction includes those who say, we just evolved. We're just a big accident. America is built on the lie of evolution. There isn't really a God. You're an accident. I went to get my eyes checked this week at the Walmart eye doctor. And what is he playing, this enlightened thing with actors that you would recognize their name, different actors and actresses? It's a whole thing on how we evolved. Well, there was a lightning struck this primal, and in the bottom of the ocean, and blah, 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 and pretty soon life came, and carbons and life evolved. No! It's a lie. It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. And good scientists more and more are knowing that it's a lie. Increasingly, even in science, there is an admission that evolution does not make sense. There is intelligent design, there is a creator. But the world still believes this lie in the United States, and along with this lie, we have therefore LGBTQ. Because if I just evolved, I'm okay, you're okay, and I can decide what sex I want to be. Right? I mean, if I really feel that I'm a girl, give me a break. I'm a girl, right? No. And that's what's being taught tragically to our children. In California public schools, their sex education now includes a thing, you could be a boy, but maybe you identify with liking boys better, then they will tell you how to have sex. California teachers are deciding that are Christians are in a bad place right now about whether they even want to keep their positions. And there are some that have stepped aside that are Christians because of what they're being forced to do. We are in the last days, and it's not evolution. It's not LGBTQ. And I'll tell you another one. I'm going to really get out there today. Global warming. Oh, the children are afraid of global warming. You know, the planet's all, we're doing it with our bad air. Man's influence on the weather is about this big. God's influence on the weather is a thing. But it's all part of the lie right now. Generations that, oh, we won't even be here 7 years from now. We're going to be gone because of global warming. You want to fear something? Fear God. Judgment is coming, folks. This world's going to be judged. Broad is the road. Oh, evolution, LGBTQ, global warming. Let's have, you know, false religions, transcendental meditation, whatever. You know, I'm okay, you're okay. Money is my God. It's all on that broad road. It's everything but Jesus. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because I think I'm talking to believers today. But that's the reality. And it leads to hell. Eternal damnation and eternal separation in the lake of fire. That's where that road goes. Over here, folks, stay with me for 10 more minutes. There's a narrow road. And that narrow road is Jesus Christ. It's the road of the cross and the blood and the burial and the resurrection. It's the road of faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other road. And all of us have to make a choice. In Joshua, it says, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose. In Deuteronomy 30, it says, I have set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Jesus, we choose you. We believe that this world is under the curse of sin. And that you are the Son of God. You are the Word made flesh. The creator of the universe become a man. Jesus, you are the Word made flesh. And you are the Savior of the world. And you died and you rose for us. And Jesus, I want to be on that narrow road. I put my faith in you. Take my life. It says in Timothy, if we die with him, our sins on the cross, we will also live with him. Guys, it's, wow. You get back to my preaching roots. Come on. I say, come on. Let's do it. Let's preach it because we forget that people are on the road to hell. But we want to be polite. We don't want to offend anybody. Right? We've got to be very nice. And man, if a child was about to get hit by a car, you would jump that kid. And this world is about to be hit by a train wreck. This is the Titanic. Pastor Lou Diaz this week, I was talking to him. He says, this is the Titanic, and sometimes all we're doing is rearranging the lounge chairs on the deck. Yeah, what's that? Oh, we're going down, but I think a chair would look better over here. But wait, the ship's going down. Judgment is coming. Broad is the road to destruction. I take no joy in it. I told you, it's very hard to swallow, actually. But I believe it because I believe the word. I'm not glad about that. I'm sad about that. And I think so is God because the Bible says God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. God doesn't want that people to perish. But this world in sin and rebellion following Satan. You remember in Matthew 25, it says, depart, you workers of iniquity, into the lake of fire prepared for Satan and his angels. The lake of fire was not intended originally for people. It was intended for the fallen angels that rebelled against God. But those who follow Satan, those who go down and reject Jesus, will follow him to his ultimate destination. Okay, so God help us to be on the narrow road and to preach and be fishers of men. Verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. There you go. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. I own an acre of land, and when I take care of it, I see a big, tall weed called a pokeweed. I cut that thing down. I don't want that in my property. I can't eat that. On the other hand, my tangerine tree, which you call mandarins, is producing right now, and I can just go pick the fruit and go, that's delicious. And by the fruit, you know what the tree is. If the fruit is good, the tree is good. If the fruit is bad, the tree is bad. And by their fruit, you will know them. If someone comes to you with false doctrine, turn quickly to 2 Corinthians 11. I'm asking, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I've got you to 11:30, guys. You're stuck here. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Actually, at 11:4, Paul said, if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the other Jesus we preached, or a different spirit, different gospel, you put up with them easily enough. They were false teachers. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, 13. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. And go back to Matthew. Satan does not come to you with a pitchfork and horns. He'll come sometimes with a tie on, looking very nice. But you check the fruit. You check the fruit. The mark of bad fruit is it's unloving. No love. Bad fruit. Bad doctrine. Or they're doing it just for money. That's bad fruit. The mark of a cult, real quick. They will tell you that Jesus isn't God. He's somebody less than God. That's bad fruit. They tell you that you can be saved by works. That's bad fruit. They'll tell you that the only way to heaven is to join their little group. That's bad fruit. And so by their fruit we shall know them. We are not to judge, but we are to be fruit inspectors. Verse 21. Thanks for bearing with me. I'll speed up a little. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Very frightful. Lord, didn't I go to church? Didn't I go to that prayer meeting that one time? Imagine hearing the words, I never knew you. God help us that it would not be so, that we would truly seek to do the will of God. The will of God is, in Thessalonians it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Verse 24, I need to speed up. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. If we put God's word into practice, we're like a wise man building his house on a rock. if we ignore the Sermon on the Mount and say, well, you know, it's a nice sermon, but nah, then we're like a foolish man. We're not saved by performance, but guess what? We are to try and practice the words of Jesus. We are to try and practice what he teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount. And if we do, we're like a wise man building on the foundation. And when Jesus was all finished teaching, they said, wow, he has authority. He has authority. Jesus has authority. He has that Greek word means he has the ability to do it and he has the right to do it. Jesus had the right to preach that sermon and he had the ability to preach that sermon because he is God. Sermon on the Mount. Let's pray. Father, we want to build our house upon the rock. And Jesus, you are the rock that we build our life on. We thank you, Lord, that you've opened the door of heaven to those who believe in Jesus Christ. You said this is the work of God, to believe in the one that he sent. Lord, you've told us that if we hear your words and believe the one who sent you, we will not be condemned. We've crossed over from death to life. We have eternal life. Thank you for such a great salvation. Thank you for being our righteousness and accepting us. Lord, we want to be the children that ask and seek and knock for those good gifts. And I pray you to fill this church with the Holy Spirit and with your good gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.